Welcome to the show today. What if I told you that the founding board member of Planned Parenthood is the only American on record to have had a one-on-one interview meeting with Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich after he rose to power? Yep, you're going to learn some bombshells in today's episode about the most infamous Planned Parenthood board member that the liberal establishment and Planned Parenthood today doesn't want you to know about, because you might start learning that these kind of individuals crafted the direction of who Planned Parenthood is today and the war that they've declared against people of color and the number one killer of black people in America. Share this episode with your pro-choice friends and ignorant Christians who need to be awakened, educated, and mobilized and inspired to fight against this culture of death that was created by the likes of this man. Buckle up. Do not miss this episode. I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show. Welcome to the show today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a really interesting episode for you guys today, okay? I get criticized and critiqued a lot for my sort of over-the-top approach to the culture war, for making too many comparisons to the Nazis or to Hitler and to all this craziness. So I thought it would be helpful to actually take a step back and explain a little bit why I say things like that. Now, you know, we have a book coming out this summer. I have a book coming out called The 1916 Project. It goes to pre-order at the middle or end of May. So make sure you guys pick that book up. Okay, get your pre-order in. Help drive it up the charts. It's very exciting. My first book that's really going to put together all the pieces of the sexual revolution and the abortion revolution, because guess what? They're actually the same revolution, and you actually can't separate them and deal with them in bits and pieces. You actually have to recognize them for the same movement and the same revolution. But one of the many things that took this organization to the next level, us here at the White Rose Resistance, was the history of Planned Parenthood, the history of how this culture was created by a set of revolutionaries in the early 19th century and throughout the 20th century, who were more dogmatic and committed to replacing the fruit of biblical faith, of tearing down the fruit of Christianity, which is Western civilization and this idea of self-government, and replacing it with the same kind of ideas that have always bankrupted civilizations. And so we explained that history in a very detailed manner, both in my new book and at the White Rose Resistance, because most people don't know it. And so we are perishing, or being destroyed, if you will, to quote the Bible, for lack of knowledge. And yet I've gotten these fact checks, you know, Reuters fact checks and all these stuff for some of these claims we make about the history of Planned Parenthood. And you can find whole books and articles by Planned Parenthood and other left-wing groups debunking, quote-unquote, the claims of pro-lifers about the history of Planned Parenthood, explaining why that quote was taken out of context. Right? It's like, well, tell me the context in which the statement, the most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Explain to me the context of that Sanger quote, of how that makes it any better. And so I wanted to talk about an individual today, and I wanted to do a little bit of a biography on someone whose legacy and impact can't be overstated. It can't be sensationalized. It can't be over-exaggerated. And yet it takes an insane level of research and an insane amount of reading to be able to bring to you today what we're going to bring to you, because of the whitewashing campaign that has happened by the cultural revolutionaries on the left to curate the rougher edges of their forebearers' revolutions, if you know what I mean. The leftist revolutionaries who sort of set the tone and trailblazed the revolution that today's leftists still walk in, that today's leftists still benefit from, right? Obviously, you don't go from no-fault divorce laws to trying to reduce the sexual age of consent of children in a few years. That takes a long, long time. And you actually have to be able to trace the thread of ideas, revolutionaries, and their impact on the culture and on the law to be able to explain how something like that would happen. Okay, so I want to highlight an individual today because they may be one of the more evil and concerning individuals in the history of eugenics, neo-Malthusianism, abortion, Planned Parenthood, racism, the KKK, the influential on Hitler's Third Reich, that you hardly find today unless you're spending a lot of time researching on Google, going many pages deep, unfortunately, because, you know, the really damaging articles to our secular liberal regime today usually don't appear on the first page of Google. And much of this you have to find by actually finding old books, buying them, researching it, because you're not going to find it online. I'm talking about the founding board member of Planned Parenthood. His name is Lothrop Stoddard, and he is the only American on record to have had a one-on-one meeting with Adolf Hitler after Hitler rose to power. Yes, yes. The founding board member of Planned Parenthood, Lothrop Stoddard, is the only American we know of that I have found record of, and I've done some very detailed research, to have had a one-on-one meeting with Adolf Hitler after he became chancellor of Germany, after he rose to power. Lothrop Stoddard was a high official of the Massachusetts Ku Klux Klan, of the KKK, a founding board member of Planned Parenthood in 1921 when Margaret Sanger established Planned Parenthood under the name the American Birth Control League, and the only American invited by the Nazis to come tour the Third Reich and meet with their highest ranking members. Who the heck is this? What do they not want you to know? And what do you need to know about this individual? So send this episode, will you, to your friends on the left, your friends who support Planned Parenthood or who support abortion at any stage of pregnancy, and ask them if this is concerning to you. Ask them if the fact that Margaret Sanger never renounced this individual and their writing, never distanced herself from this individual, never condemned their beliefs, writings, and associations, is concerning to you at all. Should that cause you some pause before you throw your hat in for Planned Parenthood and whoever they endorse this November? Okay, so Lothrop Stoddard was a founding board member of Planned Parenthood in 1921, and that was a position that he held for many years. He was also one of the early members of the Eugenics Research Association, which he joined when he was invited by the Eugenics Research Association. He was a member of the American Eugenics Society, and he was a high-ranking official of the Massachusetts KKK. The KKK, okay? The Ku Klux Klan. He was a high-ranking member of the Massachusetts Ku Klux Klan. In fact, in a book about the KKK, it's really interesting, by Richard Tucker, it's called The Dragon and the Cross, The Rise and Fall of the Ku Klux Klan in Middle America, Lothrop Stoddard was identified as what they called the Exalted Cyclops of the Massachusetts chapter of the Klan. The Exalted Cyclops. This was the phrase that they used to refer to a chapter leader of the KKK. And Lothrop Stoddard was identified as the quote-unquote Exalted Cyclops of the Massachusetts chapter of the Ku Klux Klan in this book, The Dragon and the Cross. So that we're just scratching the surface of, let me say it again, one of the founding board members of Planned Parenthood, a position that he held for many, many years. In fact, as late as February of 1935, Lothrop Stoddard was honored at one of Sanger's dinners. It was called Birth Control Comes of Age Dinner, where they honored many of the heroes of the birth control movement. Lothrop Stoddard was among the honorees at this February 1935 dinner that Margaret Sanger hosted and gave a speech at on behalf of the American Birth Control League, where Stoddard was still a board member. And by the way, this is why it's important to understand that the eugenics movement and the birth control movement in the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s were the same movement, okay? They were the same movement. There were some more radical eugenicists who did not want Margaret Sanger, but most of them were all in bed together. And virtually all of the funding and first board members of Planned Parenthood were funders and or board members of the American Eugenic Society. They saw these things as one and the same. Birth control, as coined by Margaret Sanger, was not a way to help poor black and brown mothers plan their parenthood. It was birth control. We need to control which kind of people birth and don't, which kind of people have kids and should not have kids. It was a tool of eugenics. In fact, Margaret Sanger said, eugenics without birth control seems to us a house built upon the sands. It is at the mercy of the rising streams of the unfit. So eugenics, she said, I'm trying to build this house called eugenics, but if you do it without birth control, it's a house built on the sands. So the two are one and the same. In fact, Leon Whitney, a friend of Lothrop Stoddard's and the executive secretary of the American Eugenics Society, tried to convince Margaret Sanger, and she was very friendly to this idea, to merge the magazine of the American Eugenics Society with the magazine of Planned Parenthood called the Birth Control Review to be one and the same magazine, because they said our goals and aims are virtually identical, okay? So it's just important to understand that, like, Lothrop Stoddard was not just a racist and a eugenicist. He was part of the birth control movement that Margaret Sanger created in the early 1900s to accomplish the goals of the eugenicists. And then Margaret Sanger's magazine, the Birth Control Review, published a positive review, a glowing positive review of Lothrop Stoddard's 1920 book. Okay, so this is 1 year before Planned Parenthood is established. In those years leading up to Planned Parenthood, when Sanger was operating her magazine, the Birth Control Review. And here was the name of Lothrop Stoddard's 1920 book. This is months before he would be a founding board member of Planned Parenthood. And the name of his book, listen, okay, was called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Yeah, I know. The Rising Tide of Color, so black people, against white world supremacy. So he's a white supremacist, quite literally. And he's saying it's all the black people having too many kids that is this tide that's going to stop the establishing white world supremacy. And the review of his book in Margaret Sanger's magazine was written by Havelock Ellis, one of Margaret Sanger's many lovers and one of her most influential mentors. And the introduction itself was written by Madison Grant, the founder of the American Eugenics Society, whose book, The Passing of the Great Race, was referred to by Hitler as his Bible, quote unquote. And these are people that Lothrop Stoddard is friends with. He was a member of Madison Grant's American Eugenics Society. Well, what did Lothrop Stoddard believe exactly? Well, I went and pulled some of the quotes from some of his books for you, particularly his book, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. In a chapter entitled Black Man's Land, here's what Lothrop Stoddard writes, okay? This is scandalous, disgusting writing, but I want you to understand a little bit about the kind of individuals that Sanger and her organization, Planned Parenthood, not only didn't have any trouble or problems with, but whose writings and beliefs and ideas were the very reason why she invited them to come to her conferences, speak at her conferences, sit on the board of her magazine, sit on the board of her organization, okay? It was because of some of these ideas I'm about to share with you and the intellectual rigor, quote-unquote, that they provided in the eugenics movement that Sanger wanted to platform them. It was his book, The Rising Tide of Color, and another one we're going to get to, that put Lothrop Stoddard on the national scene, on the national eugenic stage, that caused Sanger to want these influential people writing for her and sitting on her board, crafting the philosophical and ideological direction of Planned Parenthood. Okay, so listen, when you hear people say, hey, Planned Parenthood's kind of like a Nazi-esque, kind of super racist-y thing, like, just so we're clear, this is what we mean by that, okay? So here's what Stoddard writes. He says, from the first glance, we see that in the Negro, we are in the presence of a being differing profoundly, not merely from the white man, but also from those human types which we discovered in our surveys of the brown and yellow worlds. The black man is indeed sharply differentiated from the other branches of mankind. Okay, this is Lothrop Stoddard. His outstanding quality is superabundant animal vitality. In this, he easily surpasses all of the races. To it, he owes his intense emotionalism. Right, so what Stoddard's saying, they're just like animals. He says, to it, again, is due his extreme fecundity, the Negro being the quickest of breeders. This abounding vitality shows in many other ways, such as the Negro's ability to survive harsh conditions of slavery, which other races have soon succumbed. Lastly, in ethnic crossings, the Negro strikingly displays his prepotency for black blood. Once entering a human stock, seems never really bred out again. That's end quote. It sounds like he's talking about animals, right? Well, exactly. He kind of sees them as animals, actually. Here's more from his book, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. He says, wherever one looked in the white world, it was precisely those peoples of highest genetic worth whose birth rate fell off most sharply, while within the ranks of the several peoples, it was those social classes containing the highest proportion of able strains which were contributing the smallest quotas to the population. Everywhere, the better types, on which the future of the race depends, were numerically stationary or dwindling, while conversely, the lower types were gaining ground, their birth rate showing relatively slight diminution. So what he's saying is that the white races of the best quality, quote-unquote, were reproducing the least. And the bad stocks, he says, right, or the lower types, he calls them, were gaining the most ground and reproducing the most. And he sees this as a bad thing. Okay, here's more from his book. He says, for race betterment, that should already put warning signs up, is such an intensely practical matter. When peoples come to realize that the quality of the population is the source of all their prosperity, progress, security, and even existence, when they realize that a single genius may be worth more in actual dollars than a dozen gold mines, while conversely, racial decline spells material impoverishment and decay, when such things are really believed, we shall see much abused eugenics actually molding social programs and political policies. Were the white world today really convinced of the supreme importance of race values, how long would it take to stop debasing immigration, reform social abuses that are killing out the fittest strains, and put an end to the feuds which have just sent us through hell and threatened to send us promptly back again? Okay, so in other words, if we don't create the master race with the best quality and genes, our whole human population is going to degrade and fall apart because of bad strains and genes. He continues, he says, finally perish. That is the exact alternative which confronts the white race. He says, if white civilization goes good, the white race goes black, he's saying, the white race is irretrievably ruined. It will be swamped by the triumphant colored races who will obliterate the white man by elimination or absorption. Not today, nor yet tomorrow, perhaps not for generations, but surely in the end. If the present drift is not changed, we whites are all ultimately doomed. And then he says in his books, we now know that men are not and never will be equal. we know that environment and education can develop only what heredity brings. So this is a common belief of eugenicists, right? Is that you cannot improve certain classes of human beings by education and hard work alone. In other words, putting them in a better environment, which is a classical belief, by the way, of classical liberalism and of American exceptionalism and of the West in general, which is that, like, what makes America unique is that, like, you don't have any, well, obviously we did have racial discrimination laws, but the dream of America being that anyone can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, anyone can improve themselves through hard work. The American dream is that no one's going to stop you and impede you from being able to accomplish anything that you set your mind to. And obviously we didn't include blacks in the promise of American liberty. And so the story of America has been improving and expanding those promises to everyone, something that no other country has ever done, okay, or was ever able to do. But the belief of eugenicists is that all of that is a futile attempt because the heredity, okay, your genes, the people you come from, okay, this Darwinist belief that there are good and bad genes that get transmuted to the next generation, and that there's nothing you can do about that. This is what they believe. They believe that no matter what you try to do for those quote unquote classes, they're hereditary. Their biology will determine whether they're successful or not. So when he says men are not equal, he says that you can only develop or improve upon what heredity brings. This is actually the fundamental belief of all eugenicists, okay? And in other words, there are good people and there are bad people. And we want the good people having more kids and the bad people to not have kids, to sterilize them and to eventually finally evolve them out of the gene pool for the ascension of the master race and the stronger races. That's what Lothrop Stoddard believed. That's what he's articulating. This is the founding board member for Planned Parenthood, y'all. In 1923, a German newspaper carried his article, okay? And it was based off of his book that we've been quoting from, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Here's what the German newspaper in 1923 was called. The Growing Flood of Colored Races Against White World Domination. A little bit more scandalous than the title of his American book. Lothrop Stoddard, by the way, was praised by people like President Herbert Hoover. He testified before the House Immigration Committee in 1924 as he was sitting on the board of Planned Parenthood 3 years into his term there at Planned Parenthood. Because Lothrop Stoddard and other eugenicists like him believe that the inflow of immigrants of bad quote-unquote races and bad genes was going to ruin the white-dominated America. Now, listen, every country should be concerned about who comes into their country, but you shouldn't be concerned about the race of people who come into your country. You should be concerned about the beliefs of people who come into your country. I don't care the color of your skin. I care about your values and what you believe, okay? And so you should come here legally, okay? And you should become an American, which means that you should adopt American beliefs, that you should actually know what our founding documents said and believed, okay? You should have them, some of them memorized. I think you should actually memorize the Declaration of Independence. You should know what it says and what we believe and what makes us unique, okay? You need to buy into American exceptionalism. Okay, so everything happening in America right now with all these people flooding into America, the second a conservative raises concern about that, we're called that we're a racist, right? We're compared and put into the same categories of people like Lothrop Stoddard. But really, we're concerned about the beliefs of people coming into our country, not the skin color, okay? Like Italians can be a little bit more darker of skin. I'm an Italian, okay? By the way, the largest lynching that's ever happened in American history was of Italians. I don't know if you knew that. It was not of black people. The largest mass lynching in America was of Italians, okay? My grandmother, my last living grandparent, is 100% Italian. I'm more Italian than I am anything else. I don't care how light or dark skinned you are, okay? I care about your values and what you believe because that will determine if we preserve a healthy American culture, and it'll also determine if you're going to contribute to building that good culture. Lothrop Stoddard didn't believe that, okay? He believed that it was the colors and races of people coming into America that was the problem, and that the color of those people actually determined the quality of those people rather than what they believed, rather than their values, okay? So this is the founder, this is the founding board member of Planned Parenthood. And by 1939, if not earlier, Lothrop Stoddard's writings on racial subjects were actually being featured in Nazi school textbooks, okay? And this comes from William Shirer, who wrote the celebrated famous book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, okay? And he was a correspondent living in Germany in the late 20s and throughout the 30s, through the late 30s, actually. And William Shirer complains in his German letters that he was keeping as a correspondent in Germany that Lothrop Stoddard was shown preferential treatment by Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, one of Hitler's right-hand men, because Stoddard's writings were being featured in Nazi school textbooks. So we know as early as 1939, if not earlier, the board member for Planned Parenthood, okay, and the high official of the Massachusetts Ku Klux Klan had his books featured in children's schools textbooks. And by the way, this was largely due to his second scandalous book, in 1922, called The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman. Okay, so a year after his Rising Tide of Color, he writes a book called The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman, which was translated into German by the Nazis, okay? So the chief racial theorist in Germany, a name you may be familiar with, Alfred Rosenberg, Hitler's chief racial theorist, translated his book into German, and this is where the Nazis got the term subhuman. You may be familiar with Heinrich Himmler's famous Nazi propaganda book entitled Untermensch. Go Google this, by the way. The German famous Nazi propaganda book entitled Untermensch, which was translated to mean subhuman. Subhuman to refer to the Jews, to gypsies, to Polish people, okay? The Nazis got the term subhuman from the English version of Planned Parenthood's founding board member's book, which catapulted him to fame in the Third Reich. And I actually have a screenshot of the German translation edition of Lothrop Stoddard's book, The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman. And you can see it in the screenshot, The Menace of the Underman, Underman translated Untermensch. And this is when the Nazis began to use the phrase Untermensch, which they then translated to mean subhuman, to refer to the Jews. Have you heard that in your history? Did you learn that in history, guys, when you studied American history in the 1900s and eugenics in school? No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think CNN and MSNBC and ABC and the New York Times and the Washington Post and NPR and the liberal establishment in general would want the American public to know that the Nazis got the phrase subhuman to refer to the Jews from Planned Parenthood, from their founding board member, their most controversial board member, the board member that they don't want you to learn about. And so in 1934, many years later, a German race anthropologist, and actually one of Hitler's more influential thinkers and writers, this man actually won an award from Hitler himself. His books were read by Hitler. His name was Hans F. Gunther. In 1934, this German race anthropologist and Nazi intellectual referred to Lothrop Stoddard and Madison Grant. Remember, Madison Grant was the founder of the American Eugenics Society, okay, and wrote the introduction to Lothrop Stoddard's book, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Well, in 1934, Hans F. Gunther, a German race anthropologist, referred to Lothrop Stoddard, this controversial board member for Planned Parenthood you're not supposed to know about, and Madison Grant as, quote, the spiritual fathers of Nazi Germany. What? Yes, that's right. One of Hitler's henchmen and eugenics intellectuals referred to the founding board member of Planned Parenthood as the spiritual father of Nazi Germany, the spiritual father of the Third Reich. In fact, Heinrich Himmler, okay, you might know that name from Hitler's Reich. Heinrich Himmler said that Lothrop Stoddard's book, The Revolt Against Civilization, The Menace of the Underman, was one of the books that set the foundation for what ultimately became the final solution, okay? And apparently this love was enduring and reciprocal, because in 1938, the Nazis invited Lothrop Stoddard to Berlin to conduct a free-range journalistic interview tour. No American had ever been granted that level of access during the Third Reich. The celebrated author I refer to, William Shirer, who wrote The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, talks about Lothrop Stoddard being shown this preferential treatment by the Nazis because his books were being read by Hitler's henchmen and his books were featured in Nazi school textbooks. Stoddard even helped the German Hereditary Supreme Court reach a quote-unquote positive verdict in sterilizing certain Jews, because Stoddard writes about this in his book, by the way. After Lothrop Stoddard comes back from Germany interviewing all of these Nazis, he writes a book about it called Into the Darkness, Nazi Germany Today. And one of the chapters in that book is called In a Eugenics Court. A eugenics court. One of the German courts making decisions about who to sterilize. This mass sterilization program. And so he sits in one of the German courts and advises and meets with them and helps craft some of their decisions. It's like so scandalous. Have you ever heard any of this before? Stoddard even met with high-ranking Nazi officials, including Fritz Sauckel, Robert Ley, Heinrich Himmler, Hans F. Gunther, who had already called him one of the spiritual fathers of Nazi Germany. Lothrop Stoddard even met with Eugen Fischer, who had run a concentration camp in German-controlled Southwest Africa prior to World War I, where he had starved, murdered, and experimented on Native Africans. Eugen Fischer, who had later run one of the eugenics organizations in Berlin, okay, whose protege, Otmar von Verschoor, popularized the Nazi Party studies on twins. So Eugen Fischer was one of the more influential Nazis, intellectuals, and actually one of the more vile and violent practicers of eugenics. He didn't just write about eugenics. He was exercising eugenics through studies on twins, sterilizing of Jews. I mean, this guy was a total demon. Lothrop Stoddard met with Eugen Fischer as well, who, by the way, Eugen Fischer actually spoke at Sanger's 1927 World Population Conference in Geneva, Switzerland, invited by Sanger herself. Are you starting to see some of the people Margaret Sanger thought were awesome? And does this help explain a little bit of who Planned Parenthood is today? We're going to get to more of Lothrop Stoddard, this most controversial board member of Planned Parenthood, in just one second. But first, we want to thank our sponsor of the Seth Gruber Show, Every Life Diaper Company. Every Life Diaper is the only pro-life diaper company in America and the fastest growing diaper company in America right now. Every Life Diaper discovered that every major American diaper company either financially supports or rhetorically supports the abortion industry. So the baby industry that sells diapers for babies, the diapers that baby can only wear if they're not aborted in the womb, help subsidize and fund the abortion industry. You can't make it make sense. That we need to put our dollars and spend our dollars in alignment with our values if we're going to rebuild a culture of life in America. We recommend you do that with Every Life Diaper. Go to everylife.com, promo code Seth10 to let them know that we sent you and to get 10% off your first order. Promo code Seth10. Make sure the nursery at your church, your local pregnancy resource center, and all of your family members and friends who are having babies goes to everylife.com, promo code Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Let's rebuild a culture of life. So go ahead and just share this, the first half of this podcast episode with someone, right? we're gonna get a little bit more of who Lothrop Sodert is. But literally, this guy is the only American to have a free range access to highest ranking Nazi officials during the Third Reich in 1939, for goodness sake. Okay? Is when he's touring Berlin and meeting with Hitler's henchmen. Okay? The guy called the spiritual father of Nazi Germany is the founding board member of Planned Parenthood. I'm going to keep saying that to drive this point home so you share this with your friends so you're equipped to expose the architects of our culture of death today. The history of Planned Parenthood as we go into an election that the Democrats are being very clear is going to be about abortion. All of their promises right now, have you been seeing the articles? Everything that they're saying is that if we win, we're going to federalize abortion again. If we win, we're going to make sure that this becomes a constitutional federal right, which, by the way, I don't think they're actually going to pull that off. But like, hey, stranger things have happened. Even with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, that's something they're going to try to do, okay? By the way, did you know Planned Parenthood just got the most money they've ever gotten? Their annual report just came out recently. They received around $700 million taxpayer dollars this year. It used to be like $550, like, which is already a half a billion. This last annual report shows that they received upwards of $700 million of your taxpayer dollars to the best funded nonprofit in human history, the largest abortion provider in the world, and now the second largest provider of chemically castrating transgender drugs. So you actually need to be equipped to convince your friends, your family members, your loved ones, your coworkers to vote against Planned Parenthood, to do whatever we can to stop this genocidal agenda that was created and birthed by Planned Parenthood. They may be the provider of about a third, 33% or more, of the babies killed in America every year. But Margaret Sanger, her ilk, and her organization literally created the abortion industry, the pioneers and architects of the abortion industry in America. And this is their history. This is their first founding board member. Did Margaret Sanger ever condemn this man? Remove him from the board for some of this stuff? No. So, during his time in the Third Reich, Lothrop Sodert gets himself a meeting with Adolf Hitler. The only American on record to have had a one-on-one, face-to-face hangout meeting with Adolf Hitler after he rose to power. Go tweet that. Did you know, founding board member of Planned Parenthood, Lothrop Sodert, only American to meet with Hitler after he rose to power. Why? Why would Adolf Hitler show such preferential, kind, and generous treatment to this man unless he believed in this man? Well, I already told you, Lothrop Sodert's writings were being featured in Nazi school textbooks for German youth. Nazi youth. They were already reading Lothrop Sodert's writings, okay? Oh, and by the way, Lothrop Sodert also didn't like the Jews. I know we talked about, like, he's high-ranking KKK member and all this stuff, and we read his writings from how he talked about black people. Also didn't like the Jews, as it turns out, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. But in his 1940 book called Into the Darkness, Nazi Germany Today, Sodert writes an entire book about his time in Germany in 1939, meeting with these people. And he has a whole chapter where he talks about his meeting with Adolf Hitler. And frankly, it's hard not to blush when you read his drooling praise of the Führer. And it says in his book that sometime later after that meeting, a photograph of Stoddard and Hitler taken during their meeting was sent to the American. And it was given with, quote, the Führer's compliments as a souvenir of the occasion. But it was given with, quote, the express understanding that it was not for publication. Boy, wouldn't that be something to be able to get your hands on that photo showing the founding board member of Planned Parenthood meeting with Adolf Hitler in 1939. But he writes about in his book that it was given with the express understanding that it not be published or shared, and that none of the contents of his meeting with Hitler were allowed to be published in his writings as well. That's right. One of Planned Parenthood's founding board members is the only American on record to have met with Hitler after he rose to power. Stoddard then gave his full-throated endorsement of Hitler's solution, quote-unquote. And Stoddard said, quote, the sterilization law is weeding out the worst strains in the Germanic stock in a scientific and truly humanitarian way. In other words, Lothrop Stoddard had found his hero, folks. At last, here was someone who had coupled his own ideological courage with the political power to enforce that ideology. His book, remember, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy, was published 18 years before meeting with Hitler. And this very racist book had recommended certain quote-unquote solutions to dealing with quote-unquote bad stock. And here's what Stoddard said in his book, The Rising Tide of Color. He said, just as we isolate bacterial invasions and starve out the bacteria by limiting the area and amount of their food supply, so we can also compel an inferior race to remain in its native habitat, which will, as with all organisms, eventually limit its influence, end quote. In other words, what's Lothrop Stoddard saying? He's saying, we isolate bacteria to starve it out, to kill it. Well, we can do that with race as well. We can isolate race and keep it in its native habitat. What's he saying? He's against interracial marriage. He doesn't want black people to have too many kids. Which he says, as with all organisms, will limit its influence. We need to limit the influence of black people, he's saying. But wait a second. As with bacteria, the goal in, what did he say? The goal in, quote, starving it out is not to keep it perpetually starved. What's the goal with bacteria when you starve it out? It's eventually to eliminate it entirely, to kill it, to murder it, to remove it, to purge it. Ah, right. Finally, Stoddard had found someone who was taking his own solutions for racial bacteria with a sense of finality. Call it a final solution. This is Stoddard's hero. And when you read about his meeting with Hitler, it's hard not to blush. It's disgusting. So if you want to know why pro-lifers for decades have said things like, hey, Planned Parenthood, it's kind of a racist-y thing. It's actually kind of a Nazi-esque kind of thing. That's not a conservative talking point to rile up the base. That's not a conspiracy theory to enrage QAnon or whatever, okay? I'm giving you a little bit of the history behind why people say things like that. And by the way, Lothrop Stoddard was not only a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He was the group's secret advisor. He was kind of the intellectual father of the KKK. The guy got himself a eugenics chair at Harvard, where he had graduated from. Okay? And in 1926, he published an article called The Pedigree of Judah, claiming that Jews were, quote, an invented race. Okay, are you starting to understand why Hitler really liked this guy? Okay? At this point, he has already had his book covered with glowing reviews by Sanger's magazine, the Birth Control Review, Planned Parenthood's magazine, basically. And now he's talking about how Jews are an invented race. Okay. And this is over 10 years before the Third Reich and the Nazis invite him to tour Germany. He says, Stoddard says, during their Egyptian sojourn and afterwards, the Jews picked up their first traces of Negro blood. Who wrote that? The founding board member of Planned Parenthood. He says, it is time to discover what blood or bloods flow through the veins of Jews. And in 1926, Lothrop Stoddard published a book called A Gallery of Jewish Types. And printed in the magazine were portraits that drew attention to the differences between different Jewish faces, as well as what Stoddard called the, quote, disharmonic features of Jews and their Mongolian eyes. A lot of the very racist portrayals of Jews' faces and noses and all this stuff are in his book. Okay, so this guy believes that Jews are an invented race and they have Negro blood and we need to get rid of them. Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow. No wonder why Margaret Sanger placed her first birth control clinics in impoverished immigrant communities with Blacks, Slavs, Italians, and Jews, and not in Greenwich Village where all the rich white people lived. Are you starting to see the ideological, political, and philosophical seed of Planned Parenthood? This is Lothrop Stoddard. And you cannot find out hardly anything of Lothrop Stoddard except by doing 15 hours of research that I've done for you in this article today, okay? And so I hope this is helpful. And this article will probably get fact-checked, and any social media reels we create for Instagram will probably be fact-checked as well or suppressed heavily, because there has been an intentional campaign for decades to remove the more uncomfortable and disturbing aspects of the secular moral revolution. And they've done this with all of their major figures, by the way. They did this with Kinsey as well. Remember Liam Neeson, right? Remember Liam Neeson, right? All the Taken movies, right? I will find you, I will kill you. Like Liam Neeson, right? One of the best voices in Hollywood, is a great actor. Liam Neeson has played one of the greatest heroes of the 20th century and one of the greatest demons of the 20th century. Liam Neeson, of course, is in Schindler's List. He portrays Oscar Schindler. But he also portrays Alfred Kinsey in a movie called Kinsey that ignores the real history behind the father of the sexual revolution. Because there was an intentional campaign from our entertainment and political elites to remove, censor, literally delete the true history of the revolutionaries on the left who have architected and created this culture of death. You can see it when you look at the coverage of Sanger over the years, the books that have been written about her. You can see them begin to exclude coverage of the things that even the libs used to acknowledge about her because of how scandalous and disturbing the real history of Planned Parenthood is. And it's the same thing with Lothrop Stoddard. I actually have a scan of the list of board members of Planned Parenthood within the first couple of years of it being established. And you can't find this anywhere. It's so difficult to find. And I found it after much research. And right there at the top, it lists all of the board members and Lothrop Stoddard's name is right there. Okay. He's at their 1925 birth control conference in New York City. He's at their 1927 World Population Conference in Geneva, Switzerland. Margaret Sanger put on the first World Population Conference, okay? You can find some of his writings to the KKK. But this stuff is so difficult to find. And so it should come as no surprise that in 1939, while Lothrop Stoddard is preparing to go to Germany to interview Hitler and Heinrich Himmler, okay, and Joseph Goebbels, at the same time, Planned Parenthood launches the Negro Project, to target Black communities with birth control. And the proposal of the birth control project said the mass of Negroes, particularly in the South, are still breeding carelessly and disastrously. They're breeding disastrously. Yeah, that sounds like everything we just read from Lothrop Stoddard's quotes about what he said about the Black man. Why? Because he's sitting on the board of Planned Parenthood. The guy's Margaret Sanger's friend and advisor. The introduction to his book was written by the president of the American Eugenics Society. Let me say it again. The Nazis got the term subhuman, Untermensch, the title of Heinrich Himmler's famous Nazi propaganda book, from the English version of Planned Parenthood's founding board member's book, The Menace of the Underman. Who's the underman? Blacks, Slavs, Italians, Jews, gypsies, the mentally and physically disabled. These are the underman, and they're a menace. That's the title of his book. That's how he refers to them. So we need to get rid of them. We need to sterilize them. Maybe we need to put them into segregation camps. Hey, here's a new idea. Let's just abort them in the womb so they're never born, so we can control the population of certain classes and races that we don't want having too many children. This is why one of the Negro Project directors for the Negro Project, the brainchild of Margaret Sanger, okay, as supported by Lothrop Stoddard, one of their directors at the local level where they were propagandizing birth control in black enclaves, one of these directors said that the Negroes think that this is a plan for their extermination. So let's let the colored think they run it. Let's let black people think they run the project of the Negro Project, but really they don't. But let's let them think that so they'll be more comfortable with an agenda that is called the Negro Project. In other words, black people kind of knew what was going on. But the goal of Sanger and Lothrop Stoddard was to put black faces at the front of the regime, at the front of the program, so that people wouldn't think that it was targeted at them. Okay? So, unfortunately, this project was largely successful. As my mentor, Dr. George Grant, says, its genocidal intentions were carefully camouflaged beneath several layers of condescending social service rhetoric and organizational expertise. In other words, it sounded a hell of a lot like, follow the science. Follow the science. And yes, 100 years ago, following the science meant being a eugenicist. Nearly all of the individuals that were part of the eugenics movement believed that it was scientific. That's how all of it was defended. It was scientific. It's what we need to do to create a strong future race of humans. It's just Darwin. It's just science. Okay, it's not racism. That's what all of these people believed. We're hearing that again today in the science, right, of Mother Gaia and the Earth. That it's just scientific that the world's going to end soon. So to try to keep it from ending soon, we have to abort a lot of babies. We have to kill a lot of babies. It's like, why is eradicating small children always the solution to all of the quote-unquote problems, right? Because this is the seed of Planned Parenthood. This is where it comes from. So that's Lothrop Stoddard, the Planned Parenthood board member who met Hitler, who drooled over him, who took photos with him, who was called the spiritual father of Nazi Germany. Thank you guys for tuning into the show today. Head on over to iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Give the show a rating and review. On iTunes, go click 5 stars, if you will. Just do that. Will you do that for me really quick? It helps us reach more people. The show goes up the charts and more people see it. And we want them to listen to this episode, don't you? Don't you want pro-choice moderates to listen to this episode to learn about where Planned Parenthood actually spawned out of and the kind of individuals that Margaret Sanger never condemned, never removed from her board, and never distance herself from? Go to Rumble and subscribe for when I'm eventually digitally assassinated by YouTube. In fact, my conversation with Charlie Kirk at Freedom Night from 2022 was removed by YouTube for violating their guidelines. And then we appealed it and they reinstated the video and they apologized and said that we didn't violate any of their guidelines. A week later, the same conversation with Charlie and I got removed for violating their guidelines. We appealed it and they said it did violate their guidelines. Yeah, welcome to the technocrats at YouTube. They can't even enforce their own rules. You didn't violate. You did violate. We're going to get rid of it. Okay, eventually I'm going to get killed by YouTube. So go to Rumble and help us insulate ourselves against the technocrats and the overlords that don't want this kind of message that you heard today reaching the masses, especially in the lead up to the election. And if you want to join the White Rose Resistance, go to thewhiterose.life. And if you want to get the first preview for my podcast audience of the 1916 Project and see our tour schedule for where the movie is going to be screened this summer around the country, go to the1916project.com. This is the documentary that's going to shake American culture, probably going to get lawsuit threats from Planned Parenthood for libel, but it's all proven. It's all legit. We can prove it all. You're not going to want to miss this movie and my book coming out this summer, The 1916 Project. We're exposing the hidden history of the secular moral revolution and the architects of our culture of death to reawaken the church to end these evils. The1916project.com. And to get engaged with the White Rose Resistance, go to thewhiterose.life. And if you join as an ally at $35 a month, you get a battle box in the mail to equip you to be part of resistance. And you join our digital community with courses and curriculum and hangouts with me. And at $70 a month, you get our book club. We're reading right now a book on Alfred Kinsey. We're going to talk about it live on Zoom. You get to hang out with me, okay? Go to thewhiterose.life. Join us, the fastest growing pro-life organization in America, to put ourselves out of a job and awaken the church again. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show.